It's Andy Parks and Fred Grandy live from the Washington Times on 7:30 a.m., 102.9 FM, WTNT. And joining us now, the Washington Times political editor extraordinaire, Stephen Dinan. Ladies and gentlemen, hello, Stephen.
Hi, Stephen.
Hi, guys.
I guess we have to jump right in and start with Jim DeMint. Man, what a shocker.
Well, was it? Did you guys have any indication that he might be taking a walk?
No, none whatsoever. We knew that, that Heritage was in the middle of a presidential search, but no idea that they'd settle on DeMint and that it would, that this would all happen this quickly. And I mean, we're talking about, next month, DeMint will step down and I guess we'll actually assume Heritage, reigns. I believe the official handover is in April. So, you know, all very fast. And when the first statement came out, you know, I work out of the Senate Press Gallery.
Right.
And when the first statement came out, a lot of reporters you could just hear sort of like the whack-a-mole game with reporters just popping up from their cubicles and saying, did you hear? So, really, really interesting news.
You know, I'd have to say, though, Stephen, and you obviously can concur with us since you're in the Senate Press Gallery, if Heritage is this good at keeping a secret, shouldn't they really be running the CIA? I mean, really?
Yeah, no, it's a really, very interesting all around. It leaves a pretty big vacuum here in the Senate. You know, DeMint really established himself in the 2010 election, both as a somewhat of a legislative force, but even more so as an electoral force. And you know, he's now going to a place where he'll be engaged in the ideas battle more so than the actual election battle. It'll be interesting to see how he translates over to that. But from his statements, it sounds like it's something that he's looking forward to, and in particular, eager to make that transition to the ideas battle.
All right. Now, based on procedure, I guess, in South Carolina, the governor would make an appointment until they have a special election. Is that what we understand?
The governor makes an appointment. I actually don't know whether it's a special, whether it be a special election that would occur basically in the middle of the year, or whether we would wait until the next regular Senate election. So essentially, it could be a situation. I believe this is the case. I'm not positive. I believe it's the case where it would then wait for the next regular election, so 2014. So the person would serve nearly 2 years the same way that Senator Lemieux did in Florida when the same situation happened there.
This varies state by state. I mean, for example, if John Kerry goes to the Senate, goes to the Secretary of State job, in Massachusetts, they have a special election right away. But I believe in South Carolina, the appointment would be until 2014,
right.
And then the person would... I don't know when DeMint's term is up. But
I think it is 14.
Well, then they'd run for a brand new
term. He was just reelected in 2010, it would be, exactly like... So the person would serve essentially almost 2 years and then would have that election in 2014 for the final two years.
And then have to run again. That's what Dan Coats had to do.
Okay. All right. Now I got that. All right. I'm going to move on to something else you wrote about, and that was the court putting doubts on the presidential appointments in recess. And this deals with the NRLB, right?
Right. And this is, you know, really, if you thought the DeMint news was shocking, this is about 100 times more shocking. This is the Federal Appeals Court here in Washington, D.C., which is considered sort of the JV for the Supreme Court. It's where it gets all the big cases involving federal agencies and whatnot. And so the three-judge panel yesterday was hearing the challenge to the president's recess appointments earlier this year to the National Labor Relations Board. That's when the president decided the Senate, even though they were holding sessions every 3 days, to be in session technically to deny him the ability to make recess appointments. The president decided that they weren't real sessions and so made his appointments anyway. Senator Mitch McConnell and Republicans challenged it, as did a business in the Chamber of Commerce. That case wound its way to this appeals court yesterday, and at least two of the judges were not only very questioning of these particular recess appointments, but of the president's recess appointment powers overall. And so this gets very complex, but the word recess means a couple of different things in legislative speak. It means any time the chambers go out mm-hmm. without, you know, without fully adjourning, you take a recess in the middle of the day. You can take a recess for a couple of days for a holiday or for a weekend or for lunches. Or you can take a recess at the end, basically at the end of each year, you go into recess between your sessions.
Well, that's I mean, it seems to me the most famous recess appointment in recent years was John Bolton, who was appointed to the UN.
That was during the Christmas break or
it
something.
It was during the break. They were not in session. But if you're talking about a lunch hour, that adds a whole...
Mitch McConnell said that. He goes, what do we have to worry about now, going to lunch?
And that's exactly what the judges were grappling with. They said the only sort of limit you can find, unless you ask them to come up with their own construction, which has basically no basis in law or constitution, they said the only construction they can find would be to go back to the constitution, which uses the words, for in the part that deals with recess appointments, it says in the recess, you know, the singular definitive article.
Right.
And so two of the judges made the point that, well, that sounds like we're talking about the end of the year recess would be the only time this would be allowed. That would be a huge change in what's been accepted practice for the last 8 decades or so.
So to paraphrase a former public figure, it depends on what the meaning of the is.
Or
yes,
is.
Exactly.
That's exactly
fascinating.
Right in this case. And then, interestingly enough, the administration lawyer was not prepared to deal with this. I think she was shocked to hear that the judges were saying, no, not only would we overturn these particular appointments, but we might overturn the entire process except for when they're done. And a little more jargon here. The difference is between intra-session, which is what the president did here, and
yes.
Inter-session.
Gotcha.
The difference
Got
is between big sessions.
Okay, but again, these were oral arguments. Nothing has really
Nothing
been decided.
Definite. That's correct. Although, having watched them, I was stunned at how at the language that the judges were using and how much doubt they cast on the process. So, as you said, we'll see. And there are a number of other courts that are also dealing with this. It's almost certain to end up before the Supreme Court.
Mm-hmm. All right. Now, about 2 days ago, we talked about a story that was developing, and that was the extension of Secret Service protection for past presidents. What happened there?
The House passed it on a voice vote with absolutely no dissent, which was a little bit surprising to me. There are definitely folks who think that that there should have been debate over the costs and whatnot. The underlying situation here is that in 1994, with the Cold War over, Congress decided that, okay, all future presidents, everybody after Clinton, only need 10 years of protection upon leaving office, that there's no reason to go further than that. There just weren't enough dangers and whatnot. Now, with the War on Terror, they've basically done a rethink and said, well, we really do need to give these guys lifetime protection. There are other people who say, no, it's crazy. They're not really targets. They've never been targets. There's one instance of an ex-president actually having been attacked. That was Teddy Roosevelt, and it happened when he was actually running for office again in the Bull Moose Party. And so these folks say there's just no reason to do this. It's a big waste of money. And if these guys want protection, all of them now, when you leave office as president, you're wealthy enough to afford it on your own, pay for it on your own. And that argument, nobody even made that argument on the floor. It just sort of sailed through. It still needs Senate passage, so we'll see whether any senators hold it up. But as of right now, judging by the House debate, pretty non-controversial.
Does it extend to family members?
It would right now. There's a weird sort of quirk in the law about age limits. This would make it clear that every former president's children up to age 16 would get protection. Once they cross the age of 16, they would lose their protection.
So what we're looking at right now is, at least for the foreseeable future, Jimmy Carter can go anywhere he wants, say the dumbest thing he wants, and have Secret Service standing around him to make sure that nobody tries to get even. I wouldn't have voted for this.
You know, the Carter example is interesting. Part of the issue here is that these guys already get a pension and get staff expenses, mailing expenses. And we did a story a year or so ago, maybe 2 years at this point, on Jimmy Carter deeded his house over to the National Park Service already, which means it'll become a park property once he dies. In exchange for that, American taxpayers currently pick up the bill for cleaning his pool, raking his leaves, sweeping his sidewalks, you know, once a week. So these guys already get a pretty good chunk of change out of taxpayers.
Yeah, and Fred and I were privy to a story the other day where Bill Clinton made $13 million in speech money
That's
alone
right.
last
That's
year.
That's right.
So,
you know, one other quick thing. Richard Nixon actually is the only president to have given up voluntarily his detail. He said, I'm rich enough, I can pay for my own security. So it has been done before.
I'll be darned. Huh. All right, Stephen, as always, thank you, my friend.
Thanks, Stephen.
My pleasure.
See ya. Stephen Dynan, Washington Times political editor. 526, 730 a.m., 102.9 FM, WTNT.